listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. My goodness, it is warm out there. This is Series 10, Episode 20 coming your way this week. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And our charity bet partners are Bar One Betting. Gaz, we're into week two of the World Cup. Are you feeling a bit more engaged than you were a week ago?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of warmed on me now. I definitely think the variations in times are, I know I said it last week, I know it's a big country and games are all over the shop, but you know, it's kind of, it was nice. Obviously Qatar was the dream. You know, you wake up 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock, that was just the cream. But I think games being in different time zones and all of that kind of makes it a bit harder to go, what's on at 5? Nothing. Oh, it's on at 8, 9, 12 or whatever. And of course, last night with the delay of the game as well, kind of took a bit of heat out of it. But I suppose, look, it was France against Iraq, was it?
Yeah.
Last night, you know, that doesn't exactly get you going. But also, it's a World Cup. You watch everything that you can. So, but yeah, no, I'm definitely getting more into it now. It's quite enjoyable. Some decent goals, some good games as well. So.
Yeah, I'm a bit more engaged myself. I think the fact I got to see Messi's couple of goals yesterday, and obviously, you know, he became the all-time leading scorer. So to see that moment of history, whereas the hat-trick he scored was at 2 a.m. in the morning and most people missed it. And I was just like, Jesus, Messi scored a hat-trick at the World Cup and we didn't see it. And you just feel very detached. Whereas we got to see that moment of history yesterday. I got to see Ronaldo there earlier on. So, yeah, I feel a little bit more in tune with it now than I did when it first started. I have England Ghana on in the background here at the minute. So, today I feel Ghanaian.
Yeah. I must say I thought England were great last week against Croatia. Spain got it together as well. And even Portugal filled in. Who were they playing?
Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
No, I still don't fancy them to go that far, to be honest. Once again, the big story last week was Cape Verde, and they are once again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, another huge result for them. It was a great game to watch. It was very enjoyable. I thought the silliness from Musiala. Was that the keeper?
Where was he off to?
It shouldn't have come out there at all, but really well taken goal by the Cape Verde man. He didn't prick around with it. He just get it in the net, put it in the back of the net, and he didn't, you know, waste any time in doing that. So and it was a cute enough finish. So they're taking their chances when they come. And it's definitely a great story.
Yeah, certainly is. Kind of all over the place really this week between World Cup and games on Friday and then a couple of games last night in the league. I don't know whether I'm coming or going, to be honest with you. I don't know really where to start this week. And I am wary that some of our listeners here might tune into the other podcast that I host as well, League of Ireland Lowdown. I don't want them to sound the same, but I spoke to Shane earlier on today, Shane Keegan, and we just started our show by just saying how bonkers, ridiculous, unpredictable the league is. I mean, Friday, Rovers, comfortable win against Waterford. They're taking on a Derry team who had another embarrassing result losing to Galway on Friday. And you think Derry going up to Talla last night have no chance, and they almost come away with the 3 points. And then you have Bowes, what, 2-3 losses in a row? Pressure coming on Rennie, and they go and beat the snot out of Shells last night, and now all the pressure is on Joey.
Yeah, I think the pressure has been on Joey for a bit longer than that. Like, it's been, it hasn't been a fantastic season. And we mentioned previously that, you know, while they're in fifth position, and comfortably so, it seems like, obviously, the home form is a nightmare. You know, two wins, five losses at home, another one pegged on last night. And to be fair to Bowes, they filled them in. I think the manner of the performance last night, I did watch a good chunk of this game over what I thought would be a snore fest between Shamrock Rovers and Derry. I think at one point, I think Barry Murphy said, well, I did flick over, I think, you know, the games are staggered. So you flick over and get the 15 minutes of the other one. And Barry Murphy was going on about what a great game it was up in Celtic Park, you know, the reverse of that fixture. And I was like, just Barry, get your head checked. That wasn't a front to the game that day. And, you know, even I commended Bradley on his interview after. He was like, yeah, that was absolutely terrible from both teams. It was a terrible game. And it was a terrible game. Like, it should go down in the history books as one of the all-time brutal games. Excuse me. And I think what you said from that game was, even though Shamrock Rovers lost that game, was, well, you've not interfered in these boys. These are terrible. And, you know, shit happens, you lose a game. And it was on a poor surface as well, which wouldn't have helped Rovers in their style of play. But, yeah, it was a bit of a mad result in Talca Park. I do want to highlight, though, the quality of defending and basic footballing skills were completely not in any of the Shells players last night. It was absolutely dire. Like, it was just, I don't know what it was. Lads couldn't kick, couldn't head, couldn't sniff out danger. Like, if Colin Whelan got the second goal, he's got 8 goals this season, I think, which is a good return for him. Well, there was a lot of complaints about him last year from Bowes that he wasn't scoring enough, but he's done well so far this season. But his header, ball comes in, it's basically just 2 free headers in the box. You know, no real challenge on the ball, and within very jig time in the game, Shamrock or Shelburne are 2-0 down and really struggling to do anything. And then I'm sure it weighs on the players that, like, you know, it's what, 25-30 seconds into the game, Vaughan opens a score, and you're like, all right, okay, right, shit happens, you know, we'll reset, 90 minutes to recover this. And then a few, you know, whatever it was, 20 minutes later, they were 2-0 down. And then you're like, oh, jeez, we've only won 2 games at home against probably the 2 worst teams. Actually, no, they met Rovers there last week or the week before, whatever that was. So that was something. But I think their only other win that the whole season was against Waterford in Talca Park.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, jeez, we're 2-0 down at home. We can't buy a win at home. Fans are really annoyed. I think the attendance wasn't great either. So it's just all of that just comes on top of you, and you're like, Jesus, we're never going to get this right at home this season. Coupled with the absolute idiocy on the pitch, it just makes for really bad reading, and I can certainly see why Joey O'Brien is under pressure. And
yeah, go on.
Sorry, just a final piece. Someone that we've complained for a number of years about his discipline, Sean Boyd, gets himself sent off as well, and it's just like, oh, geez, you know, piss off.
At 3-0, like, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you know, I think, I don't know who I referenced there last week getting sent off late on, or it was game was away from them, and you're just like, that's just throwing the toys out of the pram. Like, that's you being not a team player, and etc. etc. So yeah, sorry, but you were going to say something there.
I was going to ask you, did you catch any of Joey O'Brien's post match interview?
I didn't. I think I like Carrick during the game though as well.
All right, it didn't go down well with the Shells fans. He was talking about how, you know, we've been on a great run going into this, unbeaten in 9. Shells fans were pointing out in that unbeaten run, drop points against Drogheda, drop points at home to Galway, drop points away to a Derry team who are having a stinker of a season, drop points at home to Sligo Rovers, and drew with Bowes at the start of that run. So look, you can say unbeaten in 9. Really, you could also say,
but that's just mid table, nothing.
Yeah,
that's like, you know, I don't know who you're saying, like you don't know what you're going to get with. So I think it was, you know, Bowes last year or something like that, to win one, to lose one. You never know what you're going to get. No consistency, no nothing. Like, yes, there's consistency in not losing, but like, you have to turn some of these games into wins. Like, you know, and we said it, we highlighted it a long time ago that, like, when they hadn't won a game in so long at home, which is your fans' closest engagement with you, you know, there's a subsection of fans that goes to every game. There's another subsection of fans that go to every away game as well as home game. But, like, you know, your main interaction with your fans are you're in Talca Park. And when you're looking at nothing but shite, week in, week out, it's very frustrating. And, you know, you can't be, you know, it reminds me kind of Tiernan Lynch going on about what a training, week of training we had. And then, you know, after losing the game that, in a pathetic fashion, oh, great week of training, really well prepared, and then do the same thing again in 90 minutes the following Friday. You're like, lad, what are you talking about? And that stuff doesn't really wash when you have that type of return in games along with their home form. So I don't really want to hear that stuff, and I'm happy to hear that the Shells fans rejected that premise.
Yeah, they need a striker in the summer window. As you said there, Boyd getting sent off is very unhelpful, because they have nobody up front at the minute. There's a massive over-reliance on Harry Wood to score goals. And then you're looking...
Did he go off at a knock last night?
He went off after 54, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a huge concern, because he's the only one really that's performing at the minute. Henry Francis started the season well, but he's only back, only feeling his way back from injury. You got Daniel Kelly there, we spoke a lot about on the show down the years, very hot and cold.
Is a non-entity.
Yeah, and like, I was so impressed with him when he came in first, and I don't think we've mentioned him at all on the pod this season. Ellis Chapman hasn't happened to him for him since he moved there. You're looking at the back line. Barrett's back in there. You know, we were talking so much at the start of the season, oh, when Paddy Barrett comes back, they'll be fine. He's back in there, and they're still leaking ridiculous goals. Sean Gannon still going. The team, at the start of the year, we would have been talking about, oh, this Shell squad, it's as strong as anything. And you're looking at the team that played last night, and there's a lot of glaring holes there. There's a lot of fixes needed in the summer window.
There are a lot of fixes, but like, we've been talking about their issues up front probably since they got relegated. Like, who's been scoring goals for them regularly? Like, Sean Boyd, you know, went through a purple patch probably when they got, was it when they won the league?
Jack Moylan probably was the last.
Jack Moylan, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to go back a long way, and like, you know, I suppose any player that Duffer signed, they were the best player in the world in their position. So pretty much anybody that he signed, you have to take with a grain of salt. Like, wasn't it, who was it that he said was a part of the best midfield? That
Dervin, there was Dervin, Lunny, and was it Coyle possibly?
Maybe. None of them at the club anymore. And Lunny, he's at Lone, was he?
No, Lunny's still there, isn't he?
Is he still there?
Lunny is still there.
I can't remember now. I don't think it was Lunny. I think it was someone else.
Lunny's still there.
It must have been someone else.
Dervin was one of them anyway.
About three weeks.
Do you know who the other one was? I'll give you the other one. It was McManus that's back at UCD now that was at that loan. That's who we're confusing with Lunny.
There we go. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So none of them at the club anymore. And everybody being hailed as, you know, the best player on the planet. Now,
there's a bit of that from Joey too, because he called Harry Wood the best player in the league last week.
Quit. Jesus Christ.
Well, he's definitely one of the best midfielders, definitely up there.
Yeah, he's definitely up there. But
if you have one of the best players in the league, then you should be performing a lot better.
Yeah, exactly.
He's turned into the Michael Duffy of Shelburne. He's having to break his back, Harry Wood, and try and carry the team.
Yeah, well, look, he's making a better face of it than Michael Duffy at the minute anyway.
Speaking of Derry, yeah, I suppose not too many of us saw that result coming last night, but hard to get away from how disappointing Friday was once again for them.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing.
They'll be hoping this return to the Brandywell spark something.
Oh, Jesus. Look, I wouldn't hang my hat on that at all. You could get absolutely anything from this side. It was a, from the bits I saw, I thought they did quite well. They had a few chances. There was a really good shot that came in and it was tipped onto the crossbar by a deflection. But they seemed to be on the front foot for most of the first half, to be fair. Really good ball in from James McLean. He had a Cardiff, which I thought was a very tough tackle, but it wasn't red card or yellow card material, and he was remonstrating with the referee for quite a while over it. And it was a tough one on Graham Burke. Obviously, it doesn't matter who you're tackling. But it was a good cross in and a really good header from Boyce. Good journey out, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while. Like, I know he's been injured and he's only finding his way back, but two boys reeling back the ears there. McLean,
yeah,
and
well, Boyce. Lots of lads doing a lot of finding, you know. I'm finding my way back. I'm so, you know, Jesus, like. And then I don't know if McGinty could have done better for that.
You've said that about McGinty a few times recently that you've been.
Well, I'm not that. You know, he's another Maher to me. Not that good. Good, but you know, good enough. But like,
who's the best keeper in the league?
I know, are they all shite?
There is a definitely a bit of a problem with standard, yeah.
Yeah, like
even Joey and Ang there at the World Cup, he pulls out some of the best saves in the league, and then he'll just have a brain.
He'll throw it into his own. Yeah.
Like if you said to me, pick one keeper that I Ronaldo's coming down to Richmond Park here, and he's going to bury one into the top corner, and you have to pick a keeper from the league to pull it out at the top corner, I'd pick an Ang.
Here's a keeper for you who is having a fantastic season. Enda Minogue.
Yeah, he's doing well, but he's had a few mistakes too.
Has he? Yeah.
What? He has. He's had a few howlers. Not howlers. Just he's still a young keeper. You know, he makes mistakes, but I suppose a bit of fortune about him getting in there. The misfortune of Conor Kearns. But no, he's had.
So that's the history of the sub keeper. You know what I mean? You're praying.
Yeah, yeah. He's probably having the sort of season that Dennison had last year, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, wasn't Dennison back in the?
He's back. He's back in the fold. Yeah.
He's back in the fold. Back in the New York groove. Well, he's not from New York, he's from California. But yeah, I don't know who the best keeper, like, it probably is McGinty. I was just disappointed. I thought he could have done a bit better, and that goal he let go by him against me.
Speaking of keepers, we never touched on it last week. It was one thing we left off last week.
Oh, go on.
It's resurfaced this week because of Conan Byrne talking about it on Virgin, the Churatska situation. What's your take? Have you heard anything on that, or you did just have a bit of inside info at Bose? Or
this was he went back to get married, or
but Rennie said he had a bug, and then it came out all over, like pictures of him all over social getting married. So I think the blame, we don't know. There's rumors out there that apparently the mid-season break got brought forward a week, or the mid-season break changed by a week. So for all we know, his wedding was booked 2 years ago for the mid-season break. Or maybe it was booked 5 years ago before he was even at Bowes. We don't know, right? I wouldn't have a massive problem with him missing the game.
I wouldn't have a second of a problem with that. Conan Byrne, what's it? This isn't the World Cup, lad. The World Cup is going on right now. And he's like, oh, some lad getting married to the woman that he's probably going to look into for the next 50 years, God willing. And he's like, oh, Bowes are playing. Who were they playing?
It's not Jerry. That different. It's not that different. It's a couple of weeks back now. So two Fridays ago, who did Bowes play? I'll get it in a second, but it's not that different to a player missing a game because the wife or whatever the partner's after having a baby or is about to have a baby. We see that all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, we do.
This issue blew up because of Reynolds saying that he had a bug. Yeah, why didn't he just say the lad's getting married? It was booked, and unfortunately the date's changed, and best of luck to him, he'll be back next week.
Yeah, if Bose felt that strongly about it, they would have paid the 30 grand or whatever to move Everton by a week. Or whatever, you know, it cost that bloke to get married. And all his family coming from all over, everywhere, and all that other shit. Oh yeah, he's playing a game in Ireland. No way. That is, Conor Byrne, completely wrong. Now, you know, not a great record, Conor Byrne, for talking ring, but like, that is up there with the worst. What is he going to do? Like, honest to God, imagine like your boss ringing you. Oh, lad, you know, DEFCON 2 here in work and you're getting married. Well, you shouldn't have booked that. Like, it's complete bollocks. It's complete bollocks. Rennie made a bollocks of it himself. He shouldn't have said that.
Did he not hear
that someone said, like, oh, when he was re-signing the contract, he was like, I'm getting married this week. I won't be here. Whether you like it or not. I heard that.
Right, I don't know. There's different stories out there. But I think, yeah, just say the lad's getting married. Unfortunate clash of dates. Nothing we could do.
Yeah.
He'll be back next week. Story over.
Was it the 4-1 against Derry?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, shit happens. Still should have bet Derry that day anyway.
I obviously can't take an issue with it because I'm missing a town game for my own wedding, so I can't get.
Yeah, and you're dragging a heap of people with you as well.
Yeah, dragging us all down.
Yeah.
I realize we're kind of not sticking to our usual format here. Usually, we go through all the games. I suppose just to go back to Friday very quickly, Dundalk. Did you catch any of the live game? Very, very impressive against Bowes.
No, I was at a game, lad.
Oh, you were. You were in Bray.
Yeah.
Well, I was at a game too. I was in Richmond and I had a great time, I have to say.
Did you have a great time? Well, tell us all about your lovely time.
It's just, we're watching a lot of First Division football, right?
All right.
Yeah. And you're going to grounds, no atmosphere, football, not really the best. And it was just nice to, obviously I take in a lot of Premier football, primarily in County Louth. I go to Drogheda or I go to Dundalk. And it's a great way to see all the teams at some stage throughout the year. But it was just nice to get outside of Louth, up to Dublin. Really good atmosphere in Richmond. And a really good game of football. Sligo Rovers played very well. The thing that's killing them is what we've said all year. Like, they've nobody up there as the nine. Traore played, and he actually played quite well.
Did he cause a few problems?
Caused a few problems, yeah. He probably just hasn't got that bit of cuteness about him. He looks to me like a player who maybe, if you pushed him out into the wing or got someone up there with him at least, he might be able to cause a problem. But I'll tell you the great thing about that Sligo team are the wingers, Ryan O'Kane, and particularly Will Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald took Joe Redmond to the cleaners in the first half. Mm. Pats were playing with the back three, and Redmond, we know he's very strong in the air and decent at passing the ball out. But if you get down the sides of him with a bit of pace, he does look a tad vulnerable at times, and Fitzgerald really got after him. O'Kane put in some brilliant set pieces, and he put in one in particular in the first half, right on the head of McElroy, who was no more than 5 or 6 yards out, free header, headed it over the bar. Had a couple of other chances as well, didn't take them. They were the better team in the first half. Pats were poor in the first half. In the second half, thought Pats just shaded it, hit the woodwork a couple of times. Kean Levy nearly scored the best goal I've ever seen. He was having a really quiet game. You wouldn't have known he was on the pitch. Mm. And then out of nowhere, he picked up the ball inside his own half. He beat a couple of players who tried to hack him down, and the crowd just got excited and on the edge of their seat. And out of nowhere, 25, 30 yards out, left foot, smacked it. It was going right in the top corner and came back off the crossbar. Would have been the best goal I ever seen. They got the couple of late goals in injury time and just a real explosion of noise. And speaking to people around the place, there is a belief that they can catch Rovers. I mean, they're 6 behind, but they've got 2 games in hand now after last night. So I just wouldn't, like, they needed 2 goals in injury time to beat Sligo as well as Sligo played the other night. They're still one of the relegation candidates. So they needed to pull it out of the fire. I would be worried about Pat's just being consistent enough. But the only thing is, Europe is coming. We talked about it last week. Rovers off to a good start. Even if they lose that, they're guaranteed another couple of games. So, busy European campaign ahead. Pats have nothing to concentrate, only the league. Really, they should be in with a shout of winning this league.
You think the one thing about that is, yes, it's great to not have the distraction of Europe and flights and charter planes and all the rest of it. Sorry, Bose fans. The money that's been charged for that charter flight is outrageous. The People's Club. but yeah, the thing with Pats is I'm not. It will be an advantage. Like, you can't look past that, not having to go to Timbuktu to play a game is ahead of another game is beneficial. However, they're dealing with the most experienced group of lads over the last four years at doing that. Do you know what I mean? Rovers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not going to be like, you know, the way Shells obviously fell away and probably were always going to fall away after they won the division. It's not going to be the same thing for Shamrock Rovers. Like, they're used to playing 50 odd games a year. And a couple of years ago when they were playing in January and February,
yeah,
after it got into the knockout phase or whatever that phase is called now. So, like, they were probably playing like nearly two solid years of football almost.
Yeah.
Coming into that. So these boys, it's bread and butter to these lads. They do not give a shit. It's not going to be as big an advantage as it might have been if another team had that
team ahead of them. That's a fair point. Just one thing on Pats. We've talked about it a couple of times on the pod. Cian Levy, Pats people are looking for more protection for him from referees. And I know there was there was a chap on Twitter kind of having a pop at us because of our comments about the Dervin tackle. I still maintain it wasn't the right card.
Why are you dragging up this old shit? Who's this plunger?
I'll get there, right? You can have different opinions, but still, I agree. I now would be in the agreement. Levy needs more protection from the referees, and I'll tell you why. The game the other night, he picked up the ball a couple of times in the second half, and he was running at players. I remember McManus in particular in the midfield. He was running at McManus, and McManus was like, shit, and started backpedaling. And he realised, right, Levy's crossed the halfway line now. He's going to beat me. No matter what I try and do here, I'm going to try and hack him down. And he just did one of those little ankle taps as he went by him. And Levy stayed up and got away with it. But that happened two or three times to Levy. And the referee didn't even bring it back to speak to them players. Never mind give a yellow card. He didn't say, you tried to hack him down there, I'll let you away with this one. Don't do that again. He let it go two or three times. And then eventually there was an incident where Levy got cleaned out and he picked up an injury. Kenny said afterwards he fell onto his back went into spasm, had to go off. So the referee had several opportunities in that game to clamp that out. The first time that happened, either call a lad aside or book him, but he did nothing and he let it go, and then it became acceptable to have a pop at Levy every time he ran at a player. So that was poor refereeing. But otherwise, I have to say, I thought the ref the other night had a very good game. But there was a call for Sligo Rovers penalty. I actually haven't seen it back. There was a claim for handball against Joe Redmond, so they definitely. I spoke to Kenny and Russell after the game on LOI TV, and John Russell couldn't believe they came away empty-handed. And look, Kenny obviously felt his team just about deserved it, given they hit the woodwork twice in the second half. So it was a very good game, but I think referees do need to give Levy more protection.
But what you've just described to me is just bad refereeing. There isn't a Key and Levy rule or like diktat coming out from the FEI. It's like, oh, this fella's a great lad. You know, it's not. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the quarterbacks in NFL get extra protection because they're the quarterbacks. They're the biggest player. You know, it's no good, you know, Patrick Mahomes getting sent to the bench because he got cleaned out when he was throwing the ball. I understand that in a way, and it's, they're protecting their product. You know, Cian Levy is a number on a pitch. What you've just described to me is Cian Levy is just a player fouled and the ref not doing his job. That's all you've described to me there. It's not Cian Levy this or Cian Levy that. It's nothing to do with that. What should have happened there? And also, like, you just said, like, it was an ankle tap. So, like, it wasn't like, so some lad didn't go, like, put him into the middle of next week.
Because you're going to get sent off if you do that. It's just one of those where you just try and sweep away his back foot as he's passing you.
But that's a yellow card. That's a professional foul. That should have been brought back. It's not a Cian Levy rule. No way. No, don't start that shit. That's a terrible idea.
We got away from Dundalk there. The question I was going to ask Dundalk.
Oh, you'd always bring them back to Dundalk.
Dundalk are only 9 points behind and have two games in hand.
Oh, yes. Any, well, that's obviously a guarantee of 6 points, isn't it?
Any chance in the mix? And how many teams are in the mix? Is it just Pats and Rovers and that's it? Good luck.
I think, yes.
Bo's only a point behind Pats, but played two games more.
Yeah, well, Bo's are hot and cold, and you know.
So is everyone. The Dogs, the only team in the league at the moment that's won their last three games.
Yes, against who? One against Bo's.
Galway. Galway and Cork. And pre-break, they beat... Who did they beat pre-break?
Couldn't tell you.
They beat Derry. Okay.
Not, you know, no great shakes in doing that. Like, but look, yeah, they're still a promoted side. They're having a fantastic season. Like, I just don't think they'll have enough, you know, when it comes down to it.
What will they say in the European places?
I think that'd be a huge achievement.
Well, I say European places, top four, and hope someone wins the cup ahead of them, or they win the cup. I think that's very achievable.
I think that's very achievable, and I'll tell you why. Shelburne are garbage. Can't buy a win at home, and that's just no addition.
And that's the thing with Dundalk. Even if their form drops off a bit, you'd be fairly confident their form at Oriel will always hold up. They're always very, very hard to beat at home.
Exactly. So, yeah. Like, if they keep chipping away at points, and next, you know, and it's on a Friday, Ginny Mac, Shamrock Rovers are coming to town. You know, a tight game, tough game, blah, blah, blah. We haven't done too badly against them this season. If we get a draw here, and Chelsea are playing at home, and they're playing children, well, they'll probably lose that anyway. So, like, you know what I mean? You can, you know, the pressure's off to a degree because their form is so bad. And it really doesn't look for turning. So, like, I could definitely, I don't think it's even much of a shout to say that Dundalk will finish in the playoff or in the European positions, with the hope that someone above them wins the cup.
Right, I think that's kind of everything covered really from a Premier Division perspective. First Division, you were at the Carlisle.
Oh, you want to start there, do you?
Well, yeah, get it out of the way.
Well, there'll be no getting it out of the way. Buckle up. Yeah, look, send it off, change the game for Longford Town, and obviously for Bray.
I'm sorry, for a man that was obviously in Richmond Park, what happened there?
Ball comes over from... Oh, who was it? Can't remember his name. And into the zone of uncertainty between the keeper and the striker. Keeper comes out, and fortunately, Bray fans, you mightn't like to hear it, he did get the ball first, but Dan Ring was coming through, and it was a very touch and go between the two of them. Like, it was both arrived at the same time as the ball, and Buckeymore hits it first. But as Dan Ring is making the challenge for the ball, it comes back off him, and it kind of goes out for a throw in, I think, to the left of Keane Moore, and the ref somehow conspires to send Keane Moore off. Like, unfortunately for the ref, definitely the worst referee in performance I've seen all year, at any level, and I've been to a few different levels this year. Absolutely desperate stuff. But yeah, it wasn't a sending off, but it wasn't a free kick even. Never mind the sending off. And if you want to go into the rules of it, because we'll be talking about another challenge later on, Dan Ring didn't have control of the balls, which I know is a consideration in denial of a goal scoring opportunity, but there was also players covering over Keen Moore. So Dan Ring had to get by Keen Moore in the town goal, who was outside the box, obviously, or not obviously, but he was outside the box. I think Tierney McCarthy and Jamie Egan were covering over, so he would have had to beat them too as well. Obviously, that changed the game, and it was a good free kick immediately that was scored from that decision from the ref. And obviously that put Longford Town on the back foot, but they did actually create some chances. Like, they weren't really... Now, I know it was in the first half, so like you obviously have plenty in the tank. So I was quite pleased with Longford Town, how they handled being down to 10 men in the first half. But obviously the concern is in the second half when you're having to cover an extra few, all those extra yards by yourself, it's far more difficult. Brake scored a couple of goals in quick succession that after Longford Town equalised from Andy Parrish. So, you know, it was very quick. I think within 10 minutes of the second half starting, it went from 1-0 to Bray at kickoff of the second half to 3-1 by the 55th minute. So, you know, game really turned on its head. Longford Town were probably disappointed. I don't think there were shouts for a red card or a red card for a tackle on Sean Moore. He did a lovely one too, was going through on goal and was just kicked, and it was a yellow card. I'd be probably of the mind that if that was a yellow card, you know, if Keane Moore was a red card, then, you know, it should have been crucifixion for the Bray man who fouled Sean Moore. Like that'd be the only, you know, if we're going to equate the two challenges. I thought Longford Town did okay in the circumstances. They got a goal late on from Colin Moore, him on. I think is that his first goal for Longford Town?
I think so. Sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds right. And then Bray added one late on. But yeah, I thought Bray made a bit of heavy lifting of it. You know, they scored a couple of goals. Like the third goal was a really nice finish in off the post. And I think their fourth was a nice finish into the bottom corner as well. But I didn't think they created enough of chances for a team that had 10 men. Obviously, it was a bit of a low block, so maybe I'm being very harsh. You know, Longford Town had to file in and, you know, make it hard for Bray to break them down. But yeah, like, the ref missed a load of, like, basic fouls, handed out multiple yellow cards to the same player, but didn't send them off. Just unfortunately, just let the game run him. Really poor performance from the referee there on Friday. But look, Bray got the goals and deservedly so. So as I said, some really nice finishes and some really nice play.
It wasn't the only red card in the first division. I see Patrick Ferry was sent off for Athlone in their 2-2 draw against Wexford. You haven't been convinced with Wexford that this season. That's probably another disappointing result for them, for Athlone. It stops the rot a little bit. Cove Ramblers 3, Finn Harps 1, and that'll link into some of the news that's coming out with Donegal, that they're set to have a meeting about whether they should open the club up to outside investment. Obviously, they've been a fan-funded model for a long, long time. What's your thoughts on that?
I think the statement really hit on the mark to a degree. You know, the fan model is becoming increasingly difficult to, or a member model or whatever model. Same like all the stadium models that we have in Ireland. More models than clubs, or more models than stadiums or whatever. But I think, you know, they are right in saying, like, football has really moved on in so many ways. You know, I think they mentioned, like, how much volunteer work goes into everything that they do. And that just makes it incredibly difficult to compete.
Yeah.
And just the game has moved on. I was actually watching a video there about some bloke, I can't even remember his name, and that commercialized FIFA. He was a lad that, he was a Brazilian lad, corrupt as all hell. Jesus, help us. He makes Charlie Haughey look like a saint. But he was a lad that got Blatter in, and one of the first things Blatter did was get the Coca-Cola deal attached to FIFA and the World Cup, which is probably one of the longest running associations in football, I'd say. So, you know, that happened in the 80s. And I'm not saying that Finn Harps are worrying about that, but I was just, well, I watched that video today and I was just like, you know, the game has really progressed. Like, if you think that was one of the major brand deals for FIFA, and obviously we're in a World Cup phase right now, or World Cup competition right now, all the other brands and advertising and partnerships, etc., have moved on. It just becomes increasingly difficult for a volunteer-led structure to operate. So, you know, we saw it with Cove. Probably Sligo will have to look into something like that. Longford, possibly. Loads of different clubs are just like, well, how can we operate in this structure when everybody around is getting massive money, no matter how they get it? So something that they probably had to, they'll have to really consider very tightly, and make sure that they're... I know
the right people. That was exactly what I was going to say.
I was like, Jesus, lad,
we've been here before.
Yeah, no, not only have we been here before, we've been here 1,000 times before. Yeah, like
the word outside investment, it does send a shudder down the spine of League of Ireland fans.
It does. Yeah, you just have to be, especially, you know, and I'm
when you're handing over the fan owned, when you're modeling.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, you know, lads,
it's different if you're already in that setup and you've got a lad in, you think, right, this lad's a bit of a see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
We get another lad in here now. It's not the same. Like, you're in when it's a fan owned club, and Sligo and Bowes fans in particular would probably agree with this statement. The scariest thing would be to hand the keys over to some completely random bloke, as you'd say.
That's very true. But also,
especially if they've no prior attachment to the club or the community or even the country.
Yes. Well, that's always a risk. But especially like when, you know, especially for like volunteer led clubs or member models or whatever you want to call it, like there's a lot of volunteering going on, and you might have a few employees that are somewhat full time. And you're like, well, all the boys that came before me that dedicated years and years and years of their time, I voted to hand this over to these randomers.
Yeah.
And they made a bollocks of it. You know, that would be, you know, such a weight on you. You know, if you did have to vote like that, like, you know, it's probably the right thing to go down that road to some degree. But to take that risk is obviously a huge one. And I just hope the Harps members make the right decision.
Yeah, no matter what happens, they need something to happen up there just to spark it. It all feels like it's gone very, very flat, particularly this season. And obviously, the stadium thing has been a long run sag as well. They just need some bit of good news there to spark a bit of interest in the club again, more than anything.
Yeah, and I know I've mentioned the stadium previously on the record with, you know, they need to bring up their own funding. They haven't that done. You know, they have built the stadium and now that has to be torn apart and all the rest of it. Like, you know, this place, as in this country, has so much money. Do you know, like, on one hand, you're like, you know, I can see like clubs doing all the announcements about the academy directors and stuff like that and what they'll bring to each community club and communities up and down and across the country. Like, that's 3 million. Like, you know, we burn 3 million. You know, for nothing in other respects. Like, a nice stadium for Finn Harps, who have been around a very long time, have done stuff by and large the correct way, don't really get rewarded from the state, which is really disappointing. But yeah, look, there you go. You know, particularly when I don't mean to hammer Shamrock Rovers, right, but like this, you know, big lovely stadium in Tallaght gets a side put on it, sides and roofs and other stands and everything like that. It was like, I think it was like 3,600 there last night in a big game. Most of the stadium was empty.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. All right,
we can't get a slat of shed put up in other clubs, but we can get that done, no problem. Bizarre.
Cork City 4, Treaty United 0. Not really much to add there. And I suppose the surprising result was UCD 0, Kerry 1.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it leads them in for a big trip on Friday. They'll be smiling. Yeah, really surprising.
For Kerry.
Yeah, probably the first time this season, I'd say.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Really unexpected result. I think it was a case that just UCD couldn't find the back of the net. But I don't, you know, that's more of a blip than anything else. I think whoever they're playing on Friday will be want to watch themselves, because UCD be on the fight, on the lookout for a good result. Big news probably is that the biggest news of all is Kelleher doing his cruciate again.
Yeah, it's an awful pity for him as much as Kerry. When he first came into the league and had that brilliant season, he was linked with maybe Bowes potentially. He played very well against them in the cup, but he was definitely been linked with Premier Division clubs and signed a new 2-year deal, I think it was, with Kerry, and then last season done the cruciate and or the knee, the ACL, whatever it was, and he comes back now, and we seen him in his fifth game back against Longford, and me and you were saying, geez, he doesn't look the same player at all, but hopefully another while he'll get back to that player that we know he can be. And then this news comes out. I'm just devastated for him as much as anything, to be honest.
Well, absolutely. Like, he was their talisman and he did deliver for an extremely long time, was very reliable on it. So just to have this news is just really a right kick in the bollocks. Like, it's just...
And look, we've seen other players in the league, when you have two bad knee injuries, very, very difficult to get back to the heights you might have been at before. Like a Collie Whelan, fair play to him, he's given it a good old go, trying to keep on plugging away. And look, even if he never hits the height that maybe everyone thought he would, he's still playing for one of the top teams in the country in the Premier Division.
I think
there's been other players, and we've seen probably players that having to drop down into the first division that had, you know, huge futures promised for them, and injuries, and then you get these other kind of little niggly injuries that occur because you're so focused on rehab in one part of the body, the other parts kind of let you down. It's just so hard to come back from one injury like that, let alone two.
Well, that's exactly it. Like, it's just it is very difficult. There's no doubt about it. You just have to keep at it. I know it's easy for me to say it. You know what I mean? Blessed with beautiful knees, but it was a cruciate, was it, or ACL?
I just think it was I'm not sure if it was given out, just a knee injury, I think.
So pluck it, hopefully he can come back. I know, did you mention there Christian Magarusson?
Well, I didn't mention him by name, but he's obviously a player that's a good example, I suppose. But look, he's gone abroad. He got back there, but it's a long, long road. I mean, when he first came to Longford, they had to be so careful with him and kind of drip feed him back into it. So it's not just a case of, right, this lad's out for 6 months and 6 months are over and off you go, lad. It's such a precarious road back.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He just have to mind himself. So look, hopefully he can get back sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Right, let's move to the predictions league, guys. And better update people about what happened last week. Last week, we were joined by Dylan Short, Pats fan. And he put 6 points on the board. He didn't do too badly. He didn't get any correct scores. But to get 6 out of 10 is not bad shooting. You got 4 correct results and 2 correct scores. So you landed 10 points for yourself. And I got 1 correct score. It happened to be the game I was at, Pats Lego, but I only got 2 correct results. So paltry 5-point return for myself. So once again, you were the top player last week. You move on to 121 points for the season. Listeners are on 95 and I'm on 85. And I think it's all over. We'll just pick a listener from random here this week. Do you know what? We're going down to Tralee on Friday, and we've got Nathan O'Reilly here, Kerry fan. So we're gonna pick his selections here. We'll start with the first division while we're talking about it, and we'll start with the game we're going to, Kerry against Longford. If there are any Kerry fans based in Tralee that can recommend a few drinking holes, a few good eateries, etc., then please do drop the pod a tweet. But looking forward to getting down there. We haven't been down in a few years. Good gang of us going down, so it should be a bit of fun.
I was down there last year. You didn't bother your hole.
No, no. You stayed in a fancy place last year. Yeah. You forgot about poor old me.
You could have stayed with us.
At the foot of the bed.
Yeah.
Right, he's going Kerry 2, Longford 0, Nathan O'Reilly. And we've referenced it before. Longford struggles in Mount Hope Park.
Yeah, the one thing, definitely not conceding as many stupid goals. I would write off Friday, considering the circumstance. It wasn't just anybody that got sent off; it was the keeper. So,
yeah,
it's a bit of shine to it from a Bray point of view. I'm going to go. Look, you have to be positive for the big trip down for the boys. I'm going 2-1 to the town.
Have Longford played down? Yeah, Longford have played down there this season. Alex O'Brien 1-1.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to think. Was the new pitch down by then? I think it was.
I don't remember.
It's just that old surface there was so poor. I used to think that was a massive hindrance. It's a tight pitch. Kerry with a bit of form going into it. I'd like to think Longford don't lose the game. I go for a 1-1, but I would like to see us win there. It's been a long time. Cork City against Bray Wanderers. I suppose it's one of the better fixtures this weekend, given it's first against a Bray team that picked up a bit of form. But
and this is in Turner's Cross, is it?
Yeah. Did you see enough from Bray to suggest they can trouble Cork City?
No, I didn't. No, not at all.
So just on Cork, actually, we spoke about recently about, you know, how do they go about planning for next season, et cetera, et cetera. Apparently, I didn't spot him with my own two eyes, but someone said to me in Richmond that Simon Grayson was in Richmond Park. He's obviously director of football at Cork City. Now, when someone said to me, I was like, they're not going to be signing anyone from either of these teams, but maybe they're already looking to next season to gauge the level. Maybe they are looking. Can they get a few fringe players? I don't know what the story is. Just thought it was interesting. He was there on the night where Cork were playing. Maybe he wasn't there at all. I didn't see it with my own eyes, but yeah. I'm just someone that would be well-informed told me he was in the stand over there.
Well, look, he could have been up in Dublin for the nice sunny weekend. He could have been seeing Olivia Dean or Metallica. You know, who knows what he was at.
Olivia Dean is the goat.
Are you going off Miley, are you?
Yeah, a wee bit.
Onto newer pastures.
Yeah.
I didn't they snap up a few players from Sligo when they got promoted a couple of years ago?
Cork.
Did I make that up?
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah. Look, they could, you know, they have the money to be challenging. Like they're going to need to get players in that have a bit of experience in the division. They could definitely do worse than signing, you know, you mentioned, could they sign Ryan O'Kane? I don't know. But like, you know, you mentioned those players played quite well the other night. Excuse me. In your opinion. So it is possible that they'll be able to maybe attract some of those players down there. But maybe. It is going to be a bit of a, there'll be a big job on for Cork now for the rest of the year, identifying players and chatting to players and trying to put a squad together that isn't going to get fiddled in week in, week out.
Nathan's going for a 1-0 win to Cork City. It's hard to know how motivated they are for games at the minute because the league is over.
Look, that's the manager's job, you know, and some players are going to be trying, like there are going to be players there that are just going to get, you know, they wake up the next morning, you know, hungover as all hell, and a P45 is going to come.
Thanks,
but good luck. So I think that's going to be a big thing. Like we saw it last year, Sir Cove signed half the winning team that year. I think a big complaint was Barry Coffey being let go to that Cove team. He's playing in the USFA, he's probably having a great time with the World Cup on his wherever he is. But yeah, he.
As I tell you, lad, all them videos of the Scotland fans are killing me. That should be us.
Yeah, it's a bit. I don't know. Oh, look at all they're drinking. Oh, what legends. But they're going.
That would be us.
Yeah, no, I know that. I understand that. But like, you know, we don't want to go just go over for the piss up either. But
I live 3 points, don't they? Would that be enough? Might be enough for a best third place. If they don't get hockeyed by Brazil, it might be enough. I don't really.
Yeah, but they are going to get hockeyed by Brazil. Do you know what I mean? Like that immovable object or movable object in a bad way. Grant Hanley in the center defense, like Jesus help us, like he won't even understand what Vinicius is running at him. Do you know what I mean? Like he won't know what that, you know, it's kind of like the BBC, you know, have you seen the BBC
the virtual
thing? Yeah. it's like a Jesus freight train Haaland coming on top of the keeper, like you're like fucking hell. So like yeah, like look, it's gonna be very difficult, but you know what, people said that about Cape Verde against Spain, blah blah blah. Could Scotland pull one out of the bag here? I think it was 86. Not that I was around for it, but it was one of the worst refereeing decisions. Now the Bray, the ref from the Bray Longford match, and I probably thought this was a great decision, but in I think it was 86, the last time Scotland were in the World Cup, Scotland were her. bursting themselves against Brazil, and it was 1-1, right? And right at the end of the game, ref gives a corner to Brazil, right? Have you ever heard this?
No.
whoever would play, but like, probably like all these legends of the game, Socrates and all this other stuff, right? Ref gives a corner to Brazil, last kick of the game. The Brazil buried into the back of the net with a header. But you could hear a whistle. The ref had blown for full time with the ball mid-air heading into the box, right? And the game died out dead at 1-1. That was it.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. So look, who knows what could happen? That, you know, they could be bailed out by an insane refereeing decision. You know, Grant Hanley has the game of his life. You know, McTominay bags a hat-trick. Who knows what will happen? I think that's the beauty of the World Cup. Like, why can't those things happen? Cape Verde would have went in and,
you know. So what you're telling me is that Bray could win in Turner's Cross on Friday?
No,
I'm gonna follow Nathan's 1-0 here, because I don't think anyone will be too up for. What are you gonna go for?
2-0 to Cork.
Okay, yeah. Wexford against Treaty. This is one Wexford can't afford to drop points in.
Yeah, but they could well do it.
Yeah,
but you'd be the concern. What are you thinking here yourself?
They've only got one win in their last 7 games, Wexford.
Yeah, that's poor. That is quite poor. What position are they in on the table?
They lost the Treaty earlier in the season as well. They're currently...
They're fifth. They just pipped Longford from that draw, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they'll have enough.
If Kerry beat Longford, they're right in the mix for a top 5 push. If Longford win that game, it looks like it's already becoming a top 6 against everyone else.
Can you say that again? If Longford win on Friday.
If Longford win on Friday, it looks like it's a top 6 for 5 places.
Yeah,
and then 4 teams caught adrift. But if Kerry win, they're right in the mix again for top 5. So just wanted to point that out.
That's fair.
But there is a bit of a split opening up there.
There is a bit of a gap, yeah.
So with that in mind, I'll go for a tentative 1-0 Wexford, and I'm going to go for a late Mikey Rowe winner.
Okay. I'm going to go for 2-1 to Wexford, but I could see Jack Brady having a really good game. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Nathan going 2-0 to Wexford there.
Fair ball.
UCD against Cove. Nathan going for 2-0 win to Cove. As we said, UCD losing at home to Kerry was a big surprise.
Yeah, I don't see that. I think the, as you mentioned, it was a big surprise. Don't think it'll be repeated. I'm going to go for 2-0 win to Cove. Or sorry, to UCD, excuse me.
You're going to go to New York City. Leah, long enough trip up to Dublin. How's the other meetings this season gone? UCD won 2 of them. Have I put up any draws yet? Oh, I have. I put the long. I go 1-0 UCD there.
1-0 to UCD. Okay.
Yeah, and then we've got Athlone against Finn Harps. Nathan going 3-1 Athlone. I don't know. Do I see that?
No, I'm not sure I see that myself. I think though. I think
Harps obviously they're massively struggling.
Massively struggling. Went ahead in Cove though, but we're well pegged back.
Conceded
some amount of chances as well in that game. But it's where we're put a few wide.
Conceded 12 in their last three.
Yeah.
In fact, in their last five games, they've conceded at least twice in all of them.
Say no more. 2-1 to Athlone.
Athlone, no win since they beat Harps away from home. So they'll definitely fancy their chances of winning this.
Yeah.
What did you go there? 2-1?
2-0.
I'm going to follow you 2-1 Athlone. Be very concerned about how many goals Harps are conceding. Nathan going 3-1, as I said. Right, into the Premier Division, Shamrock Rovers against Galway. We've touched on this, I've highlighted this before. Galway's horrendous record in this fixture. I think it's like 30 years since they won away the Rovers in the Premier Division. So we've seen Rovers respond a couple of times when they've been given a bit of a rollicking from Bradley. I'd imagine he had a few stern words for them last night. Not a great performance against Derry. I think they'll win this and win it with a bit to spare. I'd see them winning by at least a 2-goal margin. I think that's a good prediction from Nathan, going 3-1 there. I'll follow him. I'll go 3-1 as well.
Yeah, I'll follow the lie.
Okay, very good.
I think McGinty might peg it into his own net himself.
And I think if Galway score, it'll be a set piece. Derry against Drogheda, the new Brandywell.
Ooh. Big Garan, big gob. That's a tough one. I do see. Is there an element of Derry have to do something back to the Brandywell, new pitch?
Yeah.
Fewer complaints or fewer excuses. James McLean back playing. Wonder how that tirade he had on RT went down when he went back up to Derry, walking into train the next day, eating the yogurt or whatever to do. Well, lad, we were on the telly last night. I'm going to say it's going to be a tight old game because Rad had a good result there on Friday against Shells.
Yeah, still not winning enough games though.
No, I don't think they're going to win this one either. I'm going to go 3-1 to Derry.
Good to see Alua and Doyle both scoring in the same game, though.
What's rare is wonderful. I think that'll be rare enough again now for a while.
In saying that, Doyle is... just looking at the top scorer, and I was like, am I in a bit of a trance? Did I miss something? He's level on 9 goals with Harry Wood.
Mark Doyle!
Yeah, I would not have got that in a million years. If you'd asked me how many. I would have said it. He has maximum 4 goals, I would have said.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So maybe the boys coming into a bit of form. I'll go for a draw. I have a feeling. I don't have the exact league table in front of me here, but let me just pop it up. I feel like these are two of the draw specialists. But Shells probably are top of that tree, are they?
No, you have the table.
Derry have 11 draws this season. And Drogheda have 7. And Dundalk have 8. So I am two of the draw specialists.
What did I go for there?
I don't know. What did you go for?
2-1, 2-1 to Derry.
You're going to? I go 2-2.
Okay.
A bit of madness there. Right, back to the predictions league. We're going to move on to Dundalk against Waterford FC.
We thought that Waterford last week might do something against Rovers, but that never materialized. And unfortunately, I don't see much change in here. Kenny got a great goal there.
Oh,
the other day, player that he kind of went quiet there for a couple of months.
I literally said it on last week's pod. He had gone a bit quiet.
Yeah, and
pops up with that.
He must have been listening. He's like, put that fella quiet. I'm gonna go. I think 2-1 to Dundalk.
Yeah, I will follow you there. Then we have got Bohemians against Pats.
In Daly Mount Park. What are you thinking?
Yeah, Pats fortunate in some ways the other night, but probably did just deserve it. But they did give up a lot of chances in the first half to a Sligo team that aren't exactly blessed with, you know, a lot of talent in the final third, as we said, bar the wingers. Bo's likely to throw in an old shite result here and there. I think you're probably looking at a draw there. I'm going to go 1-1.
I'm going to go 1-0 Bo's.
Okay. And Nathan going 2-2. Then we've got Sligo against Shelburne. Sligo probably raging this isn't in Talca. I definitely think Sligo are capable of getting something here.
Yeah, this is in...
This is in the showgrounds of a Saturday night and two teams that have no striker.
I'm going to go 1-0 Shelburne, Harry Wood, if he's not cracked.
I am going to go... One one.
Okay.
Nathan going 2-1 to Shell. So that's the hotline. Shell's the prediction league.
I think Shell's have to squeeze out that one after that shocking performance there on Monday. They can't go up to the showgrounds and knock them by 3 points.
Be interesting to see what the response is like. All right. Time to go on to the Barwon Bet and charity bet. Been such a manic week with World Cup commentaries and everything else. I didn't actually check how we done with our charity bets last week. God. So, no. one again. One team again. Wexford let us down this time. Let me down anyway. You might have got what that means. I think you might. Let me just check your account here quickly.
Come on.
Because remember I said, we'll go for different ones just that we don't both end up with the same team letting us down. So...
Come on, log in. Let me just tell me.
I'm just having some trouble logging into your account.
Oh, Egan, come on.
I know.
You work for this crowd.
Hang on. I have it. All right, here we go. Apologies, listeners. I know this is very drawn out. Right. Noah, who let you down? One team as well, UCD at home to Kerry. Jesus, lad, we're never going to get one. This is painful.
UCD, a banker. What is going on, lad?
Hate this league. Right, guys, give us something for this week.
Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah. If Shamrock Rovers is the one team to let us down, we're winding the lot up because 30 years they have won this fixture.
Yeah. Shamrock Rovers, Shelburne.
Oh, Shelburne's a smelly one. Go on.
Yeah, I know. Dundalk.
Okay.
And Athlone and Cork.
I really don't like that one at all.
Yeah, sorry.
10% ACA boost, €10 stake returns, €111.79.
Lock and load.
Locking in. Okay, that's Gary's charity bet placed. And let me have a go at my one now as well. As ever, thanks to Barrow and Betting for their continued support of the charity bet every week. Answer all these matches available on their website and on their app. 18 plus, gamble with care. Jeez, I'm having a real difficult time logging in here tonight. This is a disaster.
God help us. This is tragic.
It's not their fault, by the way. It's my awful laptop, really on its last legs. I'll place this later on, but I can go through the odds here.
Right.
You have to remind me to place this. Right. Okay, Rovers is the banker.
Yeah.
I'm going to jazz up the Dundalk one by going Dundalk to win and both teams to score. I think we'll get goals there at Oriel.
We don't need any of that sexy stuff, do we?
No, we do. Right, I think I'm fairly happy Premier Division wise there. I don't really want to touch them other games, to be honest. So I'll drop into the First Division. Throw Cork in, even though I think they've let us down once or twice. And I'll throw in UCD. And what's the odds like there? That's tens. Throw in Wexford. Leave Wexford. Ah, I'll throw Wexford in as well. Right, I'm going Rovers to win, Dundalk to win, and both teams to score. Cork to win, UCD to win, and Wexford to win. And for €10 stake there, there'll be an ACCA boost as well. So without the boost, because I'm not logged in, it's 193.58, but it'll be a bit more than that with the boost.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, that's this week's charity bet with thanks to Bar One Betting. We will move on to the hotline, Gary, before we go. I'm aware that our listeners could probably hear a lot of clicking in the background, so apologies for that. Right, Owen, another side point. Friday's game is huge for Bray. Chance for them to show that they are capable of stepping up against a Cork side in form. If we can, it's a good sign heading into these next few months. Win is huge statement. We're going, would be a huge statement, but it's a huge ask. Dundalk win again. Surely it can't go on like this. It can, says Killer of the Moon. Elsewhere then from Friday night, JH, is the only way to deal with Keane Levy to kick the life out of him, same every week. We've discussed that on the pod. Column, inconsistency of Bowes is frustrating and inexplicable. Made Shells look ordinary, but looked like a pub team when Dundalk got on top. Yeah. Stephen Clancy, heartbreaking stuff in Inchicore on Friday night after a great performance compared to the week before in Waterford. Definitely deserved a point. I think that's one thing that we didn't say. To lose 4-0 to Waterford and then produce a performance like that away to Pats, John Russell deserves credit, but unfortunately came away empty-handed. Nathan Riley, who played in the Predictions League this week. Thanks, Nathan. Great win for Kerry FC against UCD. First away league win in over a year. Matt Connor with a man-of-the-match performance, making some outstanding saves. The playoff charge is on. Need to continue the good home form with the win against Longford. Kelleher injury is a big blow for us. Cian, the Pier Stadium movement is on its way. Shane McCormick, Rovers need to put teams away earlier. Have left too many points behind this season. Not surprised Dundalk won tonight. Best team Rovers have played. Bowes have no cutting edge and a soft underbelly. Not something you could accuse Dundalk of. That's a good point. Daniel Foran, Metallica was class. Oh, I forgot about the League of Ireland this week. Oops, there was a lot going on in Dublin Friday at the rugby as well.
The what?
Yeah.
Well, actually, and I think a friend of mine went to Metallica, and he went Friday and Sunday because they were playing different sets
of season. They got like
50,000 songs. They all can't be that good, lad. But look, I'm not really a Metallica fan, so and probably they're probably one of their last ever goes of it.
Oh, is that right?
I have no idea, but like they've been around a lifetime. They're probably gonna start kicking some buckets soon enough.
Jesus, that's very optimistic of you. Fair play.
Well, like they're old, like, you know what I mean? Like, shit happens. Like,
driving up to Richmond. Jeez, it took me about 2 hours from Dundalk between Metallica, the rugby, and everything else. Yeah, it was a busy old weekend in Dublin. Owen, we've read out his tweet, one of his earlier. I'm not going to read out his other one. You only get one go at it, Owen. Izzy Bowes. Bowes very poor. No focus from the players at all. They looked away with the fairies. Far too much distraction in Daily Mount to focus on football. That's after Friday's result, obviously. Max, question for you, Mr. BTS. Has a promoted team ever qualified for Europe and won the league? So this is obviously a Dundalk fan. It probably has happened, has it? Qualified for Europe, whatever, winning the league. Sporting Fingal win a cup after they come up. I don't know, is that the same season or... qualify for Europe, maybe.
They started off in 08.
I didn't see this tweet until now. I would have looked it up. Obviously that other league across the water, Sunderland, became only the fifth team ever to be promoted and qualify for Europe via their league position. So
yeah, well, I think that has to be the mark. You know what I mean? Like any team, not any team, but like, you know, you can go on a cup run. Like Longford got to the cup final in 07 and got relegated. So like,
yeah,
it's not the same.
If any of our more learned listeners have the answer there, we'd love to get
yeah, any more learned, whatever the hell that is.
I just made that word up. Oh, look, we've a more
was
educated,
a Cork? Was a Cork?
I get a more educated fellow than you and I, Michael Shine, the dog fan. He replied to the tweet. Derry City promoted in 1987, made Europe 1988 as FAI Cup finalists. as Dundalk won the double. No, it's not the same.
Not the same. No, no. It doesn't count. Go back. No. Delete that tweet.
And finally, Paul Seary, Dundalk will win the league.
Well, he's optimistic, but I do think they'll get into Europe. I don't think Derry and Shells are just too shite. So it'll be a massive turnaround, I think. I don't think Lynch is capable. I think Joey O'Brien, jury's more out, might be able to pull it out of the fire. Needs a striker, though.
Here's another one for you. What about Bowes going to play in Richmond for the next couple of years?
Oh, sure. Look, they'll probably be raving about all their fans going to make their pilgrimage over to Richmond Park. Yeah, well, look, they have to play somewhere. Like, is that a surprise or is that a thing?
From a Pat's point of view, I have to say, sorry, I need to say this before we go.
Oh, here we go. Here, yes.
What
yes.
A carpet in Richmond Park.
Oh, yeah.
I turned up the other day and I was afraid to walk on it in case someone killed me and they would have been right. And then someone said, no, it's fine. You can walk across the pitch. It is an absolute carpet and that needs to be the standard for every club in the league.
All right. Okay. Great.
But with that in mind, don't understand why Pat's, they don't need the money, but at the same time, we're always giving out about clubs need to be sustainable and can't be relying on a sugar daddy. Bows are going to give them a lot of money to play there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wonder, do they need the hassle of... Look, the groundsman's obviously confident he can do his job and pitch will be fine.
I think it'll just have to be well worked out with, alternative fixture weeks and that type of stuff.
Surely you'd want to make life as difficult for your local neighbours as possible.
Well, have them play Saturday on a shy pitch.
Have them play in Turner's Cross.
well, Galway opened that door.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be very sustainable. Look, they have to play somewhere. Probably in a bit better shape than Talca. Maybe got a better deal. I'm sure probably... the FAI had something to say about it as well, and because obviously they'll have to sort out all the fixtures. But look, all of that's possible, can be done. Yeah. So, not really an item to discuss. But
right, sure. Look, that's where we'll leave it. I know it was a bit scattergun this week, but
actually, we're all over the place with the World Cup. We're just blue in the face of football. We don't know what's going on. England are going to shit the togs here, are they, against Ghana?
God, yeah, I have it on in the background here. Now they're absolutely dominating, but. I haven't seen the keeper make that many saves, but Jesus, every time I look up, it's England in possession in the final third.
Yeah, look, King Kane will come out now in a few minutes and probably get a hat trick in the last 10 minutes.
Probably.
What a player. Yeah. I know I've said this story before, but I went to Munich in October 2023. I haven't a clue who they were playing. They filled them in, maybe Freiburg or something like that, and the bastard didn't score. How was that possible? It's probably the one game ever that he didn't score for Munich. And I was telling the story to someone there recently. It was after he scored against Croatia. And I was, if anybody that's watching Munich game, I was like around the little T-Mobile lads in the crowd. So it was right down by the corner flag where he would have been celebrating as well. So still not over it.
But there you go.
Yeah, that's the story.
I don't know what day of the week it is. Only that Friday, I knew I was doing Pat's Sligo. I said, I know it's Friday now because it's match day. But up until then, I've been doing all sorts of kickoff times at the World Cup. So, apologies if we're a bit all over the shop this week. We didn't have a guest, obviously, but it was touch and go whether we'd get a pot out at all. I'm doing it. I'll have to have the handkerchief out, Gaz, because I'm doing Czechia, Mexico. That should have been us in the Azteca.
Yeah, I was saying to Max there the other evening, he gave me a lift down to Bray, and that would have been, our
World
Giant Stadium, or Gillette Stadium, or whatever game that was in 94, that would have been our one. Obviously the result dependent, but... to see your country playing a World Cup in a stadium like that would have been sensational. Against a home nation like Mexico would have been, just outrageous. But I think it is tough. It is tough. Like
As I said earlier,
you're over it, but you're not over it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
financially, I was within a couple of weeks, I was glad financially we weren't going and the hassle of everything, visas, etc. But now that I'm seeing the videos, seeing the stadiums in particular, on the every time I look at a game, I'm like, geez, that stadium, the big screens, unbelievable.
Yeah, big everything. Like, even like all the Japanese fans, you know, everything's so big.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's so wonderful to see like so many people coming over, having a great time, you know, experiencing all the different cities around America and Canada and Mexico. It's just, look, it is a kick to the bollocks. There's no question about it. Because there was a little plateau there, you know, you're down. You know, we'll get the next one or whatever shite you make up to, you know, get yourself through the day. And now we're here and it's just back to Prague again, mood wise. So yeah, look, it's tough going. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, so look, just stick with us during the World Cup. I think the next at the minute I'm a bit quieter next week football commentaries wise, but that could change. So we'll keep firing the pod out anyway. So we'll keep in touch with you all. But if we're not flowing like normal, then there's just a lot of football and a lot of stuff going on that we're trying to cover different bases. So we appreciate everyone sticking with us. As ever, you can follow us on Spotify or on Apple. Leave a rating and a review there. Even if you thought this show wasn't great, maybe wait until one of our better ones and give us a 5-star down the line. But leave us a comment on Spotify as well, or on Twitter or X, whatever you call it these days. We do like hearing from you. But the main message there, just make sure you're following us on Spotify or Apple. It does help push the pod out to new listeners. So that was it from Kieran Burke, from Gary Riley, from our sponsors Quinn AV and from Bar One Betting. A huge thanks for tuning in. Keep enjoying the World Cup, and make sure you get out to a game on Friday or Saturday as well in the league, and we'll be hopefully back again next week to chat about it all. But for this week, from Kieran and Gaz, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you soon.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.